written on the board, run for your life. As we go into this meeting, I just very openly acknowledge our desperate need of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's not something that can be manufactured. That's not something that man can do, but it's the presence of God coming down and meeting with us in these services. And the messages the Lord has been giving me and dealing with me about for this meeting are very interwoven and very connected. And as we come tonight, Brother Carl exhorted us, if we come not expecting anything, most likely you will go home without anything. If you come to services, it doesn't matter whether it's on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis or in revival meeting, and you come with a critical attitude, the devil will satisfy you every time. You'll find something to be critical about. But if you have come tonight to be fed, if you have come tonight with your heart open, I'm confident that the Holy Spirit will be faithful to us individually. When I was in Pakistan last year, towards the end of the year, I want to relate, I was with a man that he was very upfront, and I hadn't had a lot of contact with him, and about within 5 minutes when I got off the plane, he was my second contact that I was working with, and I got off the plane and met him for the first time, and within 5 minutes I was asking myself, Lord, what am I doing here with this man? It took me a while. He was someone that he wasn't interested in political correctness at all. He'd just tell you what he thought. And as I listened to him talk about different situations, I was, Lord help me, this is going to be a long week. Well, when all was said and done, I want to share something he told me. We had gone out to tribal places, people that had never heard about Christ before. There were others that had heard some about God, and they'd had missionaries visit them before. And he told me, he said, you're not like the other people that come here. And I wasn't sure if I was going to get a compliment or a complaint. And he told me, he said, you're not preaching what they preach. And I looked and I said, what are people preaching that come over here then? And he said, they're saying they're coming over here to Pakistan and they're telling us Jesus loves you. And that's all they'll say. Keep living like you're living. God understands and He loves you. But that's not what I went and told them. I told them God loved them, but I went on to tell them something else. God loves you enough not to leave you in the place that you're in. And tonight, I'm going to tell you the same thing. If you wanted to go somewhere to be entertained and to feel good about where you might be tonight, you've come to the wrong place. Because this week, by the help of the Lord, I'm not interested in the political correctness. I'm not interested even in what you think about me when I leave. But what I'm interested in is sharing some of the Word of God that we might be ready to meet God when He comes back. Because our time is short tonight. And whether you are young or whether you are elderly, the devil is doing everything he can to steal the spiritual life that you have. And if I have something would to exhort you tonight, and I've written on the board, run for your life. I want to share with you about some people that Jesus told to run for their life. If you'll turn with me over to the 24th chapter of Matthew, we'll begin reading with the 15th verse. And there is a lot in this prophecy that we do not have time to deal with all the intricacies of it. But in the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was speaking in the 15th verse. He was speaking, keep in mind, to the disciples, to the Jewish people. And He said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Tonight, we need the Lord to give us understanding hearts. The Word of God goes forward. Are we understanding? Do we believe it? And do we believe it enough to make a change in our life? He went on to say, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Parallel scripture you'll find over in the 21st chapter of Luke. Luke was a little bit plainer. Luke was not talking to just the Jews. This is what Luke said about it. When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now if the Lord told you to flee, what do you think you ought to do? The question is, when am I supposed to run? I want to give you a little historical background. The Roman Empire, at the time of Christ, they were pagans. They worshipped idols. They were very wicked people. They espoused a doctrine, do what feels good. Have you heard that before? Live for the moment. If it feels good, do it. And that's what the Romans, that's how they believed and they worshipped idols. The Jews recognized, even when they had their banners, their flags that they fought under the Romans, the Jews considered them an abomination. And Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, in other words, when you see Him coming, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get out of Jerusalem. I want you to flee for your life. Well, Luke was very specific. He said, when you see the armies around about Jerusalem, he said, it's time to get out. Don't pack your bags. Don't go get your clothes. Don't hold on to the things that are most valuable to you. Get out of Jerusalem. Historically, in 66 A.D., the Roman army marched on Jerusalem. The children of Israel, the Jews that understood the prophecies in Daniel, and specifically the Christians who knew what Jesus had taught them, when they saw the Roman army coming, the bells started going off in their hearts and in their minds. This is what was prophesied. And they said one to another, it's time to get out of Jerusalem. The army of Rome marched around and they camped outside of Jerusalem. And without going into all the background of it, the Roman army ended up leaving. And that's when the prophecy said, you need to get out of Jerusalem. When you see them come, and when they left, every single Christian that lived in Jerusalem got out of Jerusalem. Within a short amount of time, the Roman army came back to Jerusalem and besieged it. And it was one of the worst sieges in history. There were people, the Roman army came back, and all of the Christians, when they saw the Roman army, the abomination is here. It was prophesied to get out of Jerusalem. They didn't understand all that was going to happen, but they knew they better get out. Well, the Roman army besieged Jerusalem. They went without food. A famine came onto the city. There began to be rioting in the city. And it got so bad that people were eating the excrement of animals. And it got even worse than that. Without being too graphic, mothers were eating their children. You want to speak of something gruesome and horrible? Every day, Josephus said, there were periods of time that every day 500 Jews were being crucified outside the city gates by the Romans. Because they were trying to get out of the city and it was too late. So every day, said when the Romans finally came in and began to burn the city, they said the piles of bodies in the streets were so great that the blood of the people put out some of the flames. You want to read more, do it on your own time. It was gruesome. It was horrible. But the Christians escaped. They didn't lose their life because Jesus said, when you see this coming, get out and flee. If you knew that was coming and you were in Jerusalem, what would you do? Well, I'm just going to sit down a little bit and kind of see how things go and how... No. Jesus said, don't pack your bags. Don't go get your clothes. When you see Him coming, get out of Jerusalem. The city was destroyed completely. It's wiped out. I want to encourage you tonight to run for your life. We are in a spiritual battle tonight. This is not a message of cowardice. There is a time to stand up and do battle against the enemy with things in our life. But there are areas in our life that we should not mess around with the power of the devil. There are things that we should not be flirting with the world. And we need to look and recognize what it is. And we need to run for our life. Because the devil has a trap laid for each and every one of us. From the youngest to the oldest, we have a brother back home. He's 84 years old. And he said he's fighting the devil harder than he's ever fought him. So this doesn't just apply to the younger ones. This is to the elderly too tonight. Be on your guard. And I think one of the reasons that so many people lose their power and anointing with God is because they're not running for their life. Every decision, every place you go, everything that's going on in the privacy of your homes. And we're going to get to that more in this meeting. But the things that are going on in your life, are you running for your spiritual life tonight? It takes effort to run. I admire people that get out and run faithfully. I admire it from the couch and from my car. Do you know, there have been periods of times I can't run because of my physical condition, but I can walk. And we started walking, my family, and I got up to walk, and I walked one day 10 miles one night. But you know what? That kind of concluded my walking. I walked 10 miles. And then I reverted back to not walking. You know how many people do that in their experience with God? They get hold of some with God and think, oh, I'm going to do better and I know I've got to take care of my soul. And for a little while they do it and then they just fall back. You know, the people that are most self-righteous about their eating patterns are people that just got off a diet and were successful. All I can say is before you start telling the rest of us to diet, wait a year to catch it off. And then come talk to me about it. You know what I'm talking about? People that lose a little weight, then they get oh so self-righteous about what everybody else is eating. It's like, just hold on a minute, wait a while. You know what I'm talking about? Spiritually. Are we maintaining, are we running for our lives tonight, recognizing that the enemy is after our soul? I do not have the luxury tonight to sit back and take my ease. The Scripture says, woe unto them that are at ease where? In Zion, that means right here. And you may say, oh, I've been a long time church member and I've had a profession for a long time. Your profession won't save you tonight. You're going to have to be living the life every single day. And if you begin to let up, the devil's going to be right there to capitalize on your weaknesses. We're in a spiritual battle over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, very familiar passage. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are fighting an enemy tonight that is far greater than the Roman army. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you recognize you're in a battle tonight? If you don't recognize you're in a battle, you're in a dangerous place. Because I'm in a battle and I'm battling for my soul tonight. The gates of hell have been opened up in these times. We are in the last of the last times. And if you heard me say before, you're going to keep hearing it. Jesus is coming back soon. We don't have much time left, folks. And we do not have the luxury of sitting back and taking our ease, thinking something's going to change. The enemy is coming, and he's coming against God's people hard. And if you're not on your guard, young people, listen. If you're not careful, the devil will overtake you. And I want to say to some of the young people's parents, don't think you've been around so long that you're unaffected by the world. The tide of the world is strong. I've had older people tell me, I have great respect for, they say, I've never felt the pull of the world like I'm feeling it now. Because we're in a spiritual battle, and the gates of hell have been opened up. In the forces of darkness, there are spirits that are in the world. There are forces that are in the world, and we need to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We need to be able to recognize areas in our life where the enemy is working. We say, well, they're my problem. No, it's not them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual battle tonight. Permissive attitude in our world against with adultery. You remember, it wasn't all that long ago that was kind of looked down upon. Today it doesn't matter to people. Adultery, fornication, everybody's doing it. Folks, it's still wrong. And it's not enough. Young people, I'm not picking on you. I want your life to be saved. It's not enough to say, I will not commit the deed of fornication. There are steps that lead up to the deed. You married folks, it's not enough to say, I'm not going to commit adultery. There are things that lead up to adultery, and I want to encourage you to run for your life. When you see the enemy working, when you see your affections going out somewhere, then it ought not to be. There are times that you physically must get up and leave situations. I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think, well, oh, what if? And I wonder how I'd like to just go out to dinner over here. You understand what I'm saying? Be careful and be on your guard. We live in a world that's permissive. It's so prevalent. I'm seeing it more and more. You can't, not only adultery and fornication, homosexuality, the airways are permeated with it. And if we're not careful, I'm going to tell you what the devil does. We say, well, we know that's wrong. I'll never do that. I know those things are wrong. But you recognize if all of these things touch our families, if we're not careful, you can begin to get a permissive attitude. And it doesn't mean you're going to go sin like that. But you begin to make excuses for your children and your grandchildren. Love the sinner now. Don't misunderstand me. Love the sinner, but love enough to maintain a high standard of godliness, of what is acceptable in the sight of God. And when people say, well, you shouldn't preach that, oh, folks, this is where salvation is, because God loves us enough, wherever we're at in sin, to lift us out of it. There's hope in the gospel tonight. This is not a message of defeat, but it's a message of warning to us. Run for your life tonight. Our young people are under attack as never before. The world is full of uncleanness. Do you all remember... You older ones. You remember when Elvis Presley first came out? Some of y'all? Okay. I don't. Do you know that people used to warn against that? Can you believe that? People actually, have you listened to Elvis Presley? Have you heard a song from him any time recently? Do you know it sounds so tame compared to what's in our world today? Our standard of holiness and righteousness should never be compared to how far above the world we are. We need to look at what the Bible teaches and measure what I allow in my life based on the holiness of the Word of God. And there are a lot of people tonight that have opened up doors in their heart by listening to things and watching things. They say, well, I won't do that. Why are you listening to it then? If you're not going to go commit adultery, why do you listen to every other song that talks about it? If you're not going to go get drunk, why do you listen to the people that are doing it and promoting it? You say, well, that's a little harsh. Do we really think that we're unaffected tonight? I want you young people to know something. I am not unaffected by the world. So you need to be more spiritual. No, I'm running from our life. I want to stay as far away from those things because there is a pull on those things. And normally it's people that just sound so dogmatic on these subjects and act like they're so unaffected. There's secret sin in their life almost every time I see it. That doesn't always show its head for years sometimes, but in general it starts coming out. Folks, we are flesh and blood, and we have to run for our life. I'm not going to get entangled about. I recognize the enemy's working there, and I want to get as far away from it as possible. Be sober then. Be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. Because your adversary, as the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy tonight, and you can just write this down and take it home with you. The enemy is out to destroy your soul. And I am comforted tonight to know that there is a power greater than the power of the enemy. There is a power that I can turn to in Jesus Christ that can overcome. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But if you begin to dabble with the world, you're getting out of God's territory and you're going to find yourself not having power over the devil. You see, that's where our soul is in our hand tonight. And the enemy is out to destroy your family. Y'all believe that? All of you married folks here tonight, the devil is going to do everything he can to destroy your marriage. I want to encourage you tonight to run for your life. Run for your life. Flee from the things that will destroy you. Flee from the things that have the possibility of destroying you. Spiritual traps. Do you think the devil has a snare laid for you? Devil has a snare for all of us tonight. To him that thinketh he standeth. What's the scripture say? Take heed. Take heed. Be watchful. Lest what? Lest he fall. I've shared this before, but I was in California. I was in Fresno a few years ago. And I was studying before the service. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came into the car where I was and told me something. He said, you better watch. He said, you could lose your soul. It shook me up. And I called, the first thing I did, I got on the phone with my wife and said, the Lord told me I could lose my soul. And you say, oh, Brother Michael, what did you do? I didn't do anything. He was letting me know, you better be careful because the devil has a trap laid for you. He has a trap laid for you tonight. I want to encourage you, don't go and start looking and start playing, messing with that trap. You're going to get caught. Run for your life. Don't play with it. Don't flirt with it. Don't entertain it. It can cover so many different areas in our life. The devil knows where your weakness is. I'm thankful God knows my weakness and He can help me through it. But the devil does too. Don't play games with the devil. Run for your life tonight. Scripture over in 2 Timothy. We're given some more instruction about this running. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He said, flee also. You know what it means to flee? Run! And that's not just this little jogging thing either. That's giving it all you got. Running for your life. I asked Vanessa on the way here tonight. I said, Vanessa, what would you do if you were being chased by wild dogs? And she said, I run. And I said, what would you do if a lion was after you? She said, I run. And I said, what would you do if the devil was after you? She said, I pray. That's the answer tonight. But you're going to have to do some running and praying, see? You're going to have to do some running. You're going to have to watch it. Don't be complacent about your spiritual life tonight. You want to go to heaven tonight? You're not going to get there by playing church. You're not going to get there by just being faithful on Sunday. And I don't know who's here and who's not on Sunday. Don't get me in trouble. Brother Carl had been talking to me. But if you're not here, what are you doing? Where are you going? What are you getting wrapped up in? What are you entangled in that's keeping you from the most important thing? And that's to be fed spiritually. Run for your life tonight. Flee also youthful lusts. Youthful lusts. Remember someone telling me, And since through the years and talking to those, my seniors, this individual said, it says to flee youthful lust because you don't grow out of them. That's true. What are youthful lusts? It has to do with the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Anything that draws on the flesh that will begin to remove me from that close, intimate, personal relationship with God. Some people think, well, when I get a little older, I won't have this battle. Folks, the devil is the same. So he said, run. Flee for everything that you've got. Flee youthful lust. But he went on to say, but follow after. If we're going to run from the world and run from where the enemy's working, what are we going to run to? He said, follow after faith, righteousness, and faith, charity, and peace. May I, is it okay to get personal here tonight? Are you, when you examine your own life, and don't look next to me, when you look at your own life tonight, can you say, I am running from my life? I am following after with my whole heart. I'm following after righteousness and faith and peace. If you're not tonight, I want to challenge you to start running. Start running. Brother Carl read, before the message, before prayer, he read one of the other scriptures that the Lord had given me for tonight. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're not going to go and turn and read it all again. But we are given a caution about those that would be rich. Those that fall into a temptation. Those that fall into a snare. Those that have erred from the faith. You know the reason, if you keep reading, if you would have kept on reading, I do want to read that next verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you keep reading from where he was, he said in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Run for your life from them. Follow after righteousness and godliness. That sounds real familiar to what we just, similar to what we just read. Love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold unto eternal life, whereunto thou art also are called, and hast professed a good profession. Are you running tonight? Are you fleeing? Or have you gotten complacent? And just, I'm a good person. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not real. Are you running for your life tonight? Folks, in the world that we are living in, I think it's why Jesus said, will I find faith when I return? The love of many has done what? It's waxed cold. It's gotten cold. How many of you tonight are running for your spiritual life? What are you willing to give up tonight to make heaven? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what did he say to do? Let us lay aside every sin and the weight which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He's talking about running. But if you had, I'll ask you the same thing, if you had wild dogs, mad dogs running after you, what would you do? I'll tell you what, I'm not going to stand there and say, nice doggy, no, I'm going to get out of there. I'm going to get as far away from them as I can. But why is it with sinful things too often? Right here. I'm speaking generally now, understand me. Why is it so often people that have been blessed with the truth of this Word, they say, I'm not going to do that, but nice doggy. It won't bite me. Folks, the devil is not your friend. And there are powers and influences at work today. If we don't get far away from them, it's going to inundate your life and the lives of your family. And parents, let me tell you something. You may think you can handle it. What do you think about your children? The fact of the matter is you can't handle it like you think you can either. Are you going to let your children pay the price for you saying, I'm not sinning? And then we get into this discussion about, is it sin or not? Have you all ever had those discussions? Well, is it sin if I do it? What does that have to do with it? Is this beneficial to you spiritually? If I do this, maybe I haven't sinned, but what is it going to do long-term to my relationship with God? That's what we ought to be talking about, folks. That ought to be the nature of the discussion. How does this thing affect my relationship with God? And so the writer says here, lay aside every weight. If you had a backpack full of gold and a lion was running after you, how valuable would that gold be? I'd be throwing everything off that would hinder me because I want life. If you want life tonight, if you want to make it to the end, you can make it tonight. We serve a God that will see that you do, but you've got a part to play. And you've got to cast off the things. Cast off the things that are hindering you. Remember that sister used to sing a song, I don't want nothing here to hinder me. I don't want to hold anything. I don't want to look at anything. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to have an attitude. I don't want to have a disposition. I don't want to bring something into my home. I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder me from making heaven my home. So what are we going to do? It's going to take honesty tonight. It's not for the preacher to go home with you and line you out, because if you do it because the preacher says it when the preacher's gone, you'll go back to doing what you want to do anyway. You know what I'm saying. This is about you and God now tonight. This is about what's going on between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He will never compromise this word to make you feel good. But when we submit ourselves to it, He will bring us up to a level where we will find true victory. Because I'm running for my life. The devil's after me. Do you remember Samson with Delilah? Samson was a man. You all want to be men. You young boys, you young men, you want to be men. Say, I'm not going to run from anything. There are some things real men run from. Samson thought he was strong enough to handle it. Through time, his resistance was worn down. He should have never opened the door to start with. Folks, the world is the same way. Men and women, boys and girls, the world is working on people's hearts. We are battling it every day with the pressures, with the environment that's out in the world. It's prevalent. The only thing that's going to keep me through Jesus Christ is when I also say, Lord, I'm going to run for my life. And then when we do that, God's grace will be sufficient to deliver you from your temptation. But we only have power with God in a life of obedience. Samson only had power with God when he was obedient and when he began to flirt. You understand, flirting is not doing the deed. Flirting is just acting like you will, but you won't. That's what a flirt is. Well, there are too many people tonight that are flirting with the world. I'm not going to give God up. I'm still saved, and maybe you are. Don't flirt. Because you start opening doors that the enemy is going to be there to begin to encroach on the victory that you one time had. Wonder what it would be like tonight. All the people, remember when Katrina, when the hurricane was coming, and people were warned, this is coming. It'll fill your house. You need to get out. You need to flee. And they said, I can handle it. I'm going to stay right here. Folks, they lost their lives. I don't want to see any of us lose our spiritual life tonight. And you may say, I'm still saved. I hope, I trust, and I would that each and every one of us are saved tonight. But if you have gotten complacent, if there are areas in your life that the Spirit of the Lord has put His finger on, said, this is one of these snares and traps, I want to encourage you to run for your life tonight. You are more valuable
than what you would trade in for what the devil has to offer. It's so cheap. It's so cheap. Your families are more important too. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Tonight, are you running? You gotten complacent? And you know, if you've gotten complacent and there are areas in your life that you know you have been maybe playing around a little bit too much on the devil's territory, it doesn't necessarily, if you haven't sinned, it doesn't mean you're unsaved tonight. But you know, you don't need to go home feeling defeated tonight. What you can do tonight is, Lord, thank you for talking to me. And I'm going to bring that to you. I'm going to run for my life. I'm going to bring this to you, Lord, and I'm going to give this thing to you. And I want you to help me, Lord, and give me wisdom and direction and help me to know what to do. But we can all leave here tonight running for our life. And you know, one of these days we're going to run right into heaven. We're going to run right into heaven. But it's up to you tonight. Because if you don't want to run, you're not going to run. But when you see the goal, and you recognize the army. Remember the Roman army. I see him coming and I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get out as quickly as I can to escape from my life. Folks, our spiritual lives are at stake tonight. What are you going to do? Amen.